now with the advent of modern technology, so basically it was a little more exciting last night because I now that I got the new gizmo inspired by this one, which is slightly different. But so I downloaded a shiur from Rav Nevenzahl that was given in I think Rabbi Neuberger Shul in Bergenfield. So I gave over a few ideas on the Haggadah. Just wanted to excerpt some of them.
Where's it from?
YU Torah.
English?
Give a plug for my yeshiva. So on yutorah.org, there's a link there. Pesach Archives, so they have probably about 150 shiurim on Pesach, Halacha, Haggadah, so on and so forth. There's a question that many ask concerning the question of the Chacham, or the answer of the Chacham. Question also, but we're focusing on the answer. Chacham Mo'o Omer Mo'edot V'chukim V'mishpatim Ashtetziv Hashem Lekein Wetchem V'af Ato Amor Lo Kilchus HaPesach Eim Aftirin Achar HaPesach Afikainen. So the text that we have indicates that the answer to the Ben HaChacham is that we tell him the laws of Pesach and we tell him the halacha that you can't have a dessert after the Afikainen. Of course, we call what we eat the last thing the Afikainen, but originally in this context, in the Mishnah, where it's taken from, it's referring to the fact that you can't have an Afikoman, meaning you can't have a dessert after the Korban Pesach. So the question is that grammatically, it really should have an extra word in here. If the Chacham is asking a detailed question about what are the subcategories of laws, you know, the setup of Rav Hirsch's famous work on Tamei HaMitzvot, Chorev, the Eidos, the Chukim, the Shvatim. That's clearly asking a question not of attacking, but of sincere interest. But can you share with me halachic, kashkafic, etc., insights and ideas of these various mitzvot that Hashem commanded you, Hashem, our God, commanded you? So the answer is that you tell him the laws of Pesach. So, parenthetically, they note that you see from here, since presumably these four sons, which are referenced in the Torah, not by label, they're not identified as Chacham Rasha, Tam, Shendi, Lishol, but in context and through the text, the Chacham were able to figure out, or perhaps it was even B'Mesorah, that the various questions that the Torah puts into the words of the various children, they refer to different kinds of children, because they're different kinds of questions. All these questions, of course, come straight from the Torah. This one, I think, is from Parashas Vaschanan. So you see from here that the answer to these children, presumably, even though it could be done the whole year, but presumably this is Haggadah, the Gat Levincha. So you see from here that part of Haggadah is telling over halachos, which is a very interesting idea. But even though you could debate this nafkamina, but that's what in the House of Brisk, in order to resolve a difficulty that others raise as well, what exactly is the interrelationship between the daily mitzvah of mentioning Mitzrayim, which you do in Kriyat Shema, and the yearly mitzvah of Haggadah? So one of the many differences that is proposed is this idea right here, that in terms of the daily mitzvah of mentioning, so you have to mention something about Mitzrayim, whether it's in halachic context, the Haggadah context, but it has to be something about Mitzrayim. The words that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim has to be mentioned. When it comes to the night of the Seder, so you could open up a Rambam Hilchas Chametz, Umatzah. I say it that way because you can focus even on the Chametz. And you cannot mention the word Mitzrayim at all. And you could be Yotzei Lemahadrin, the mitzvah of at least Kol HaMarbe L'Saper Reis HaMeshubach. Could be, you might have to have a basic, as the Gemara indicates, Maschel B'Gnosayim Meshvach, you have to tell a little bit of the story. But in terms of the Ribui could be either Halachic or Agadic. And that's what you see from this answer to the Ben HaRosha, Ben HaChacham, excuse me. Kehilchos HaPesach. That's what they note, that in the story that precedes this, Maiseh, Reb Elezer, Yeshua, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Reb Akiva, Reb Tarfon, all the all-stars of the Mishnayos, Shayim Yisum b'Bnei Brak, Elohim Asab, Mishnayos, Sayim Kol Osar Laila. So it sounds like that their focus was Haggadah, the narrative and the miracles, etc., and maybe the Kabbalistic ideas behind it. I don't know exactly what's going on at that Seder. But it sounds like their focus is not halacha. But there's a parallel to Tosefta that has different chachamim, amongst them Rabbi Gamliel, and there they were learning the laws of Pesach. So you see from there that both are akim of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. In any case, what do we answer the chacham? Ein maftir nachra Pesach afikoman. So it seems to be missing the word ad. Afeto amor lo kilchas of Pesach. You tell them the laws of Pesach. Ad ein maftir nachra Pesach afikoman. You tell them all of them. All the way till the end. The last halacha, the Seder, is before you go to sleep. So make sure not to eat anything. But there is no ad. So the truth is, I think in the Rambam's version of the Haggadah, there is an ad. Okay, so that solves all the problems. So you have the right girsa, so then you're fine. But the majority of texts of the Haggadah, even in very medukdak texts, even a very precise text, you don't have it. So which leads many of the Balei Haggadah to have one or two approaches. That's what it means. It's as if there's an ad, even though it's not actually there. Or there's somehow, there's some reason that halacha is quoted amongst all the other halachos. So one approach is it's a sample. Obviously not going to cover everything. One mesech and shas to go into so all its complexities will last more than one lifetime. You got to give some kind of sampling. So it gives you a sampling. And the other approach is that, no, this is all that's recommended to focus on, even though of course it could be also with other things as well, because there's something unique about this mitzvah that somehow encapsulates much of what is to be said about the mitzvot of the night of the Seder. The answer of Nevensal suggested a very fascinating shot that runs basically as follows. The Rav Shlita already developed yesterday in the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. Number one, the centrality of the mitzvot in the night of the Seder. The fact that it's not sufficient to just retell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but you actually have to speak about the mitzvot. Rabbi Gamliel, Hay Oimer, Kol Shalayom, Shalash Jom Alolu, Loyosi De Chavosai, Pesach Masamor. And he also noted that, unlike the Rambam, who explains that that's part of the Haggadah, but the Marsha, I think others also note that the Ramban says that as well, that says that it's part of the mitzvah of eating matzah, but you have to explain why eating matzah. And the Rav also developed the idea how the eating of the matzah also serves as an active form of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We thank Hashem not just by reciting words, but also by doing things. And this is indicative of a major, major theme in Yahadus in general, and certainly Pesach is a very big application of that, that we can't just focus in theory, we have to put it into practice. So what Rav Nevensal suggested is the following. I had a similar idea from my Rebbe Rav Shechter in a different forum, but different context than Haggadah, but basically the same idea. That if you contrast the question of the Chacham to the question of the Rasha says, Ma avodah zos lachem, which the Rav also addressed yesterday. So what exactly is the thrust of that question? So the Beis Halevi already notes that it's not really a question, it's a statement. How do you know? Because the Torah says so, because this is taken from Parshas Bo. And there, the question is, of Moav Oda Zos Lachem, it's not Bo. This is where? The footnotes are failing me over here. It doesn't give the footnote. That's all the other Pesachim. But Moav Oda Zos Lachem, wherever it is, I forget which Pasuk in the Torah, where it is, but it says, V'hayaki Yomru Aleichem B'neichem. It says when they say, it doesn't say when they ask. Concerning the Ben HaChacham, it says, Hoya Ki Sholcha. Concerning the Ben HaTam, it says, Ki Sholcha. Concerning the Shein De Elishol, it doesn't say anything, there's no question. But concerning the Ben HaRosh, it says, Hoya Ki Yomru. That's the text of the Chumash. Again, I don't remember exactly where it is. So it says, they say, you know, the famous story they quote from one of the Gedol Yisrael, that someone, this is one of those stories that they pin on many. I'm not sure about them, but they may probably have more than once. So there's some person who's having serious doubts on the religion, so they come with a whole list of questions. The rabbi, I need answers right now, otherwise I'm leaving the religion today. So I left already, and I'm not coming back, unless you answer them. So the rabbi answered that when you're ready to ask questions, I'm ready to answer you. When you want to make statements, so then I can't make statements on statements. I'm not giving rebuttals. I'll give answers to questions. So that's Ki Yomru Aleichem B'neichem. He's making a statement. It's phrased as a question. And this is oftentimes sarcastic remarks and so on and so forth are done. What do you need this for? That basically means You don't need this.
It's like he's on a soapbox or
something. Yeah. So that's the way the Beis Halevi, amongst others, it's Meduyik and the Psukim. It's a very central diuk. And that seems to solve most of the diukim. Hakam are picking on the Rasha, and are picking on the Chacham. So there are other reasons within the text of his question. What about his question that is somehow malformed and doesn't indicate a respectful attitude to the religion? But the giveaway is that the Chacham is Kishocha. That's inquisitive. The Rasha is a statement. Be that as it may, what is the thrust of his pseudo-question, or his pseudo-statement, however you want to put it? So one major approach is that he's mocking the mitzvot. That he feels they're unnecessary. Mo avodos lachem. The Rav addressed that also yesterday. What do you need it for? Now, what do you mean, what do you need it for? So this takes different flavors. Reb Salevi has his approach, and Reb Nevensal went a slightly different track. Reb Nevensal pointed out, and this is very interesting, and I'm sure it was the Kavanah Satora, that there should be many different subcategories of Rishoyim who would phrase their question in a similar way, but they mean different kinds of things. So it's very interesting, because the Gedolei Yisrael throughout the eras have always pinned the philosophy of the current philosophy of attack against Judaism in the mouth of the Rasha. Now, who's right? So it could be they're all right. Now, the Torah was specifically vague so that the attacking kind of individual could have different kinds of philosophies throughout the years. So sometimes the theory was that the mitzvot were necessary in a past era, but no longer, which was the Reform movement. And then the secular Zionist movement came along and said the mitzvahs were only necessary in Chutz Lorenz. Because now that you have in order to preserve national identity, now that you have a country, you don't need the national identity. Unfortunately, the heresy is still going on. I thought we were in a post-Zionist era, but to point out in certain, sometimes when they take people on tours, of mitzvahs only relevant to Chutz Lorenz. Right? It's a big problem. That's part of the okay, let's not talk about that now. But there's so much good about them being Israel, but that's why there's been such confusion about it, because there's a lot that's not so good. Anyway, but so Rav Nevensal suggests is, which seems to be a more contemporary philosophy against the Torah, which also is a carryover from the 19th century also, from the beginning of the Reform movement, is they spoke about Jewish ethics. So not to be a Jew at heart. You have the concepts, Ben-Gurion in his autobiography, so he writes about the national spirit of morality, the prophets of old. It didn't mean any divinity to it, but meaning painting a vision of morality, freedom, equality, so on and so forth. So, what Rav Nevensal suggested is that that's exactly the thrust of the question of the Ben Harosha. What do you need mitzvahs for? Havoda, work, service. Very nice. You want to talk about the Exodus, talk all you want. Talk about national freedom, about nationhood, about light unto the nations. But, you got to do that. Now, again, it's not as, you know, as I don't know where my student got this from. He said it. Whatever his Rebbe told him that he has to down, you know, a whole Shmur Matzah in 30 seconds. He's crazy. That's not the mitzvah. So now the post can point out the more matzah eating, obviously the more time you have, because if you have a bigger shear, so that means the Kedei Achilas Pras is bigger. Okay, so that's why I don't usually have the watch at my table. I know some people do. I don't eat slowly, but eat. And when it goes down, that's a normal way of eating. So that's usually you're going to be yotzi that way. But the bottom line is, it's still bizarre to eat the cracker. Bread's more delicious, and certainly, you know, if you want to have a barbecue, have a barbecue, but you want to call a whole lamb somehow Avodas Hashem, and that's a mitzvah. Like, what are you doing? And then Morar. You know, that's the old story they tell about a non-Jew hooked up with a Jew, two beggars, and the Jew said, come with me, you'll be able to have a good meal, you know, so... So he got till the morrow, and then he ran away. So the Jew went to a different place. So he said, how was it? He says, well, I ran away after this morrow stuff. He says, wait. wait one more second. After the travails comes the great, could have had a great meal. Didn't have patience. Didn't have the patience. That's all. That's a muscle. Rav Nachman Breslov used that as a muscle for all of Jewish history. So, the mitzvahs are very hard to come to grips with, even if one has a spiritual kind of mindset. What do you need ma'aseh mitzvahs? And yet, the Torah teaches us not only is that crucial, but that defines yahadus, different from all other religions. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal used to have a phrase he used to say all the time, the ikar is ma'aseh. Now again, he was saying it in a certain context. But it's a very important idea that certainly highlights Judaism. Doesn't mean there's no emunah, as we spoke about before. But we believe in creed-based deed. Right? The emunah has to penetrate the action, but it's not enough just to have emunah. The way Rabbi Soloveitchik put it is that Yahadus does not attribute too much confidence in just broad ideas unless they're translated into ma'aseh mitzvos. The way the Sefer Chinuch puts it is achrei ha'pa'ulos nimshachos halavavos. That ideas fizzle down, but when you constantly remind yourself of those ideas by putting them into action, so that reinforces those ideas, and then make sure that with the twofold amudim of both machshava and regesh, as well as maisa, so the person remains connected to Hashem Yisbarach. So therefore, he suggested the following: what is the halacha of Ein Maftir Nachra Pesach Afikoman? The halacha is that you got to have Tam Matzah or Tam Pesach. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, Tam Pesach, and nowadays Tam Matzah, because that's the Zechel of Korban Pesach. In other words, that the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim should go with you throughout the night, and symbolic of the fact, you got to get up the next morning, go to Shacharis and have another meal, so you got to eat something, but the symbolism is that it should go with you. The whole year, you have to take the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim with you. Now, of course, there are many messages within that, but the messages that Rav Nevin Zal focused on is the fact that there's a Ribono Shel Olam who runs every single power in the world, both the forces of nature, which were overturned in Mitzrayim, as the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, which we went through in a different forum together, indicates that only the one who created the nature could overturn it, that God is the master of history, that ultimately human destiny is going to be determined, and his Rav Nevin Zal is a Rav for many, many, many years in Yerushalayim, and I mentioned this in a different context, and in the Yom Kippur War, he was banging on the tanks, telling, in a lull in the fighting, you know, telling the Hezdeniks, come, we're giving a shear now, right, in the middle of war, and showing that idea of how even in the middle of war, it's also whenever there's a free second, you have to be learning Torah. And he went through a lot. He's not a young man, so he threw a lot in his in the advent of not just the Medina Yisrael, but also of the Kibbutz Golias, at least to some extent. So he saw a lot in his life, and he was commenting that it's not Bush who runs the world, and it's not Sharon who runs the world, and it's not Saul who runs the world. These are all tools, and it's very easy to miss that because we are commanded to be activists in the world, at least to some extent. Different sheets of how active in what capacity. But we got to do, right? So that could easily lead to forgetting this very central message. The way Rav Arlovsky put it, that's why the Aron was carried by the Levim, or the Kohanim, depending on the era. But on the other hand, it was Nosef. It carried the ones who carried it. Make no mistake, the one who's running the world is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, you have to carry it. In other words, that you have to share in that responsibility to act in the world, but realize that Hashem lo yishmar yirshav shakat shomer, that you serve as a shliach. That's why the greatest of people, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the greatest of anovim. What does it mean? Doesn't mean you didn't have self-esteem. My Rebbe used to stress this a lot. If he didn't have self-esteem, he couldn't have smashed the luchos. If he didn't think he was gevaldik, he couldn't have taught Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. Who am I to teach Torah? Be the chief rabbi of the world. No, thank you. That's what Moshe said originally, but then eventually he did. And he was able to be in that capacity. So what does it mean he was an onav? That means he was just a tool. He viewed himself as a conduit. Me yitain, right? When Yeshua says, let's bump off or put in jail, whatever, Eldon and Medad, because they're saying Nevu and the Machanen, so some of it seems to be against you. He says, let them all be Nevi'im. What am I in the business to be great in my own eyes? I'm just a tool. The more gifts I have, the more I have to give. So that's what we tell the Chacham. You want to know why there's so many mitzvos, moha edos, achukim, and mishpatim. Meaning, because you have to take these messages throughout the whole year, and how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Because the message is going to fizzle down, so you have to have tons of mitzvot to remind you, which is exactly what the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo. Why are there so many mitzvot having the Yetzias Mitzrayim? Tefillin, and at least to some extent mezuzah, that's what they ask. We've dealt with this before. It doesn't say Yetzias and mezuzah, but it discusses the concepts that were proved by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Emunah, and ultimately leading to Kabbalah, the Torah, etc. So you have to have so many mitzvot because you need constant reminders. That's what a human being is. Actions, thoughts without actions are easily going to dissipate. So it's also a shkafic answer to the Ben HaChacham, not just a halachic answer. We pick a certain halacha that highlights a very important thing. And that contrasts the opposite of the Rasha. That was his point. The Chacham is saying, Moha Eidos. I'm telling you why you need so many Eidos. The Rasha is saying, what do you all need this for? So we give him a similar kind of answer, except in a more brazen way, because I want to put him in his place, Bavur Zeh. That's what a Beis Halevi has that idea also, that Bavur Zeh, that Hashem took his time because it didn't mitzvot. Those mitzvot that you're making fun of, this ultimately causes us to remain connected to Hashem. Again, the Beis Halevi has a slightly different idea in that regard, but according to Rav Neventhal, you could say that pshat here. Okay, let me just conclude with two quick ideas on the part of the Haggadah that the Rambam says one should be marbein as well. Rami Ovidavi, to be doresh this parsha. In the past, we've given explanations, which I don't think I'll have time to go into now, as to why this parsha Bikurim, which is the psukim that we darshan from the pasuk of Rami Ovidavi, right? It's taken from Mikra Bikurim. Why do we choose those psukim as opposed to psukim in Shmos Ve'erav Bishalach? Different approaches as to why that is. Right. I noted that. I'm not sure where the Rambam got that from. I didn't investigate that. It's interesting because I wonder whether anyone maybe has a different understanding. But there is such a Rambam. Just wanted to mention a few ideas in that. Number one is Ilu Hoytzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Saviseinu Mitzrayim. That's in the first paragraph, which everyone asks on, what do you mean if Hashem had taken us out? So there's no Egypt anymore. I mean, there is Egypt, but there's no Mitzrayim anymore. So what do you mean we still would have been there? So
spiritually,
spiritual, right? So that's one famous approach. Yeah. And then later in this section of Drush, where it says V'yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, right? So the Haggadah darshins Lo Yedei Malach, Lo Yedei Sarach, Lo Yedei Shliach. So first we have a famous question: what do you mean Lo Yedei Malach, Lo Yedei Sarach? But it says Lo Yitein Hamashkis Lavo Batachem Lindov. Hashem's not going to send a destroyer. So it sounds like there was a Mashkis, the Malach HaMavis. Here, different perushim. The Gra says that the Malach HaMavis didn't function on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even for the Jews who should have died of old age, lest there be a claim against them. But you see, you die too. So that's the Gra. Now, that of course, you're not going to get a direct Makkah from Hashem, but even the regular Mashkis is not going to operate. And others suggest, I think this is the Maisa Nisim, the Baal HaNasivus, says that that Mashkis was like a stick. Sometimes you send an agent to go to the store, get me a container of milk, and sometimes, you know, you take a stick to take something off the shelf. It's a tool. So however the Rebbe Hashem operates in this world, that's really beyond us, but there are different kinds of malachim. There's a malach that's sent, and then there's a malach that's like, so to speak, to use human vocabulary, even though it's obviously just an analogy, where Hashem like holds the malach, you know, that's like the sword. So that's what the Maisa Nisim suggests, is the pshat in Lo Yitein HaMashkis. And the simple reading, in the Gemara Baba Kama, we had an opportunity to learn this year, the sixth parak, is that there was a twofold makkah in Makkas Bechoros. There was the Makkas Bechoros itself, all the Bechorim died exactly at midnight. And then there was the Mashkis, And the Drushim say that there were legions and legions of destroying angels that went down to Mitzrayim to totally wreak havoc. So one of the boys asked, if it was a good question, I don't know the answer to that, if there were other people who died besides the Bechorim, that's the implication from that Gemara. So then, again, the Mitzrayim would say that it wasn't, you know, according to plan. So I don't know, but the simple reading of the Gemara, because it says, you see from there that night is a dangerous time to go out. Exactly what the parameters of that are is discussed by the Rishonim. Actually, you can take out the garbage in the middle of the night, but that's a good excuse. Oh, no, sorry, I can't say it. But the context of the Gemara is, you see from here that it's dangerous to go out at night. What do you mean it's dangerous to go out at night? But that was a special, Ani Hashem, Ani Velo Shliach, etc. So that's what the Gemara seems to be indicating, that somehow then it was a terrible mashchitzin that was sent, and every night is a time, to some extent, a time of danger. Be that as it may, the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out b'chvoy de v'atzmai. So here is a very fascinating idea that's developed by the Maisa Nisim. The Maisa Nisim is a god that's printed in the Otar Tfilus. It also appears as a separate volume. And it's very classic. A lot of people build, and the Maisa Nisim god has said this, and let's add a little more. It's written by the Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, who wrote the famous commentary on Chesh Mishpat. So he writes the following, Ilu lo hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Savaseinu Mitzrayim, and which is highlighted here as well, if he didn't take us out himself, Hashem decided, Berachamav HaGedolim, to throw in his lot with Klal Yisrael. Meaning what? Obviously he's beyond everything. At any point, he's beyond the world, so... But nonetheless, there are so many midrashim that highlight the idea that imanochi b'tzara, that lo asavaseinu gaal kodesh baruch hu kiyam aysanu, yes, but the midrashim seem to indicate kiyam hu also, that he also went out. Now what that means exactly, I don't know. But we speak constantly in midrashim about the tzar hashchina, the pain that the divine presence feels, about our pain. Again, what that means, I'm always very hesitant to speak about these things, because you know, one false move when you're crossing over from anthropomorphism, which is just the muscle of a Kodesh Baruch in human ways, to a wrong religion. But that being said, and we stress this on Sukkot as well, Aniva Hu Oshiyana, right? That Hashem Kaviyachol should save not only I, but also He. I mean, even the I refers to Kodesh Baruch in that context. Why did Hashem do that? He could be beyond it. He doesn't have to connect himself to that. Because he knew that there will be times when Klal Yisrael will be undeserving of Geula. But Geula is in the cards and is guaranteed. Because Hashem threw his lot in, so to speak, with our lot. So therefore, as it says in Yechezkel, and many other Midrashim and Sukkim highlight this as well, that even if you, Klal Yisrael, are not acting properly, Ese Laman Shmi, once Hashem attached His covet to our covet, where Kvod Shemayim is inextricably bound with Kvod Klal Yisrael, so then we're guaranteed Geula. So that's what the Nesiva says, Maisa Nisim, both in the first paragraph and in this paragraph as well. That's why it's so crucial that it was Hashem Himself who went on this train. This is Hashem sent a Malach. Okay, so let's say eventually Chalila, the Jews, something big time happens to them, as you know, as Moshe Rabbeinu constantly uses the claim, right? So Lama Yomru HaMitzrayim, Lama Yomru HaGoyim, whatever it is. So it's one madrega to say, well, Hashem sent a Malachim, He overturned the forces of nature in order to take them out, and look what's happening, now they failed Him, and now they're all, they sinned, and now Hashem had to destroy them, Chalila. So that's one madrega. But if Hashem Himself, the Chvod of Atzmai, came down in Mitzrayim, again, using a human analogy, lowered Himself to come into the Mokam Atumah, as Nevinsal pointed out, He couldn't send Malachim because the Malachim themselves would have been influenced by that depravity that was in Mitzrayim. Again, I don't know how these things operate, so I'm just saying the words. But if Hashem Himself had to come down, so... If that would be mechulo, meaning if the plan would fail because of Klal Yisrael's averos, that would be an infinite chilul Hashem. But because of that, that was a bracha in disguise. That to allow eternal geula not dependent on our actions. So that's one idea as to why it was so crucial that there was Ani Hashem, Ani Hu Lo Achir. One other brief idea I just wanted to conclude with, you mentioned it before, this is from Rabbi Lander, I mentioned this last year, that the fact, we know, we speak about Olam Haba, Gan Eden, we speak about nearness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what sometimes is missed, Rabbi Lander pointed out, I certainly missed it until I heard this year, that we speak about Gilui Shechina, which is also referenced in that parasha, Zoh Gilui Shechina, which is very much a part of Ani Hashem, Ani V'lo Achir. It wasn't just to punish the Mitzrayim. It was to give spiritual pleasure to the Jews in Mitzrayim. But here, they hadn't gotten the Torah yet. And the full scary pleasure of the revelation of the intense Shechina they were not ready for yet. That had to await the preparation until Shavuos, to march down, march up, whatever, to Shavuos. But even in Mitzrayim, after so many years of servitude, Hashem, Bechazda HaGadol, way above and beyond, didn't want to wait till they got into a cleaner, a more Torah area, or certainly not into Eretz Yisrael. In the Tum of Mitzrayim, he revealed himself in order to give divine pleasure, or if you will, a way to understand it, an inkling of the Schar yet to come, because that's what Schar of Gan Eden is. It's being near HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, to explain it, then the sense, as they point out, the sense of being near to someone who is near and dear to you. That warm, intense, pleasurable feeling is amplified greatly by being near one's own source. So that idea of Ani Hashem, Ani Hu V'lo Achir, was not only to serve as a more intense punishment for the Mitzrayim, and not only to serve as a guarantee of the final geula, regardless of how much we blow it, but also to serve as a sense of giving Klal Yisrael enormous spiritual hana as they're about to march into the unknown wilderness and to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. Chag Shameach to one and all. And we'll get there.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. The car was up by the